Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast on Public Access Channel Number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find all of these Bible program and radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find our TV videos, our Bible videos, under special tabs, under special studies. And you will also find a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give a look. Let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We can help you in your spiritual walk with God. Do not hesitate to call upon us. Today, we're continuing our study of the book of 1 Peter. Today, we're only going to look at one verse, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. And we're going to maybe spend this week and maybe next week in looking at the meaning and the power of this statement. In verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Now, in that text, we're going to talk about the sincere love of the brethren. Now, love is a favorite word and a favorite study that we can find throughout the Bible. We study today what it has to be from one point of view, every Christian's favorite topic, love. The Bible assessment of love. Love is a spiritual assessment of Christian quality, is the first and greatest command of the world law and the greatest among faith, hope, and love. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning in verse 37, Jesus said to them, "You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second likened to it, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 13. After talking about the ceasing of spiritual gifts, says in verse 13, "Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of them is love." And then in James chapter 2 and verse 8, we read, "If you really fulfill the world law according to scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you will do well." And see, love is the greatest command. Purifying our souls. We are looking at a command of God to those who have souls have been purified by obedience to the truth. Sanctified. We learned in a previous lesson that this describes our purification from sin by the sacrifice of Christ and our continued life of separation from the world and consecration to do God's will by practicing His teaching. Obedience. This is a word that literally means to hear under, to submit or subject oneself to what they have been told and what they have heard. Truth. Truth is the message of the gospel or the word of God by which men are sanctified when they obey it. John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, through thy word is truth." Sincere love. Our emphasis will be on the sincerity of love that Peter calls on all who are sanctified and obedient believers must manifest one to another. We want to talk about this sincere love of the brethren. It is a manifestation. It is something we must make known by our actions. The goal is to have a sincere love of the brethren. The two words for love are used in our text, and if it to be distinguished, convey two important ideals concerning brotherly love. Philadelphia is the first of our English words, Philadelphia, which combines the Greek word philos and adelphos. Philos means denote the inclination prompted by the sense and emotion, Thayer says, and refers to the ideal of friendship, affection, fondness, maybe even a holy kiss. Adelphos, the Greek word for brother, is used in the spiritual family in Christ who call on God as their father and accept every Christian as their brother. We are a family. And so when you put them together, the two words put together into one word teach the importance of friendship, affection, and fondness of one another in Christ. We share a special bond. We are in a special position because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. The love of brethren. Several passages which use this expression reveal a number of attitudes that are important to the love that we have one for another. Let's look at some of these passages that we can learn some details. We begin with 1 Peter 3 and verse number 8. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Scripture says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous." A passage that we are scheduled to study later on in our study teaches us, along with the love of brethren, there must be a humility and a compassion in our relationship, a tenderness, a like-mindedness. The ideals bring out more clearly the friendship and affection that we should plainly express one to another because of the similarities that we have because we are members of the family of God in the household of God. And then in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10, Scripture says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." Paul combines these Greek words, in addition to brotherly love, to highlight the need for a natural love as within a physical family. We are to prefer one another. We are to prefer Christians above others. Why? Because we are like precious faith. Who better understands the trials and tribulations of a life of a Christian than another Christian? And so we have that in common, and we can be drawn to one another because of our common bond in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse number 9, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." Here is agape is joined to brotherly love, as in our text, to emphasize esteem and sacrificial care that should accompany our affection one to another. Peter later would say that agape should be added to brotherly love in 2 Peter 1, verse 7, that we will address in the second letter of Peter. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 1 through 3, Hebrews chapter 3, 1 through 3, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all of his house. For this one has been accounted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he had built the house, has more honor than the house." When the writer reminds the brethren that brotherly love must continue, he teaches us to remember that fellow prisoners among them as though they were in their body in bonds. This has a reference in Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. And so, love of brethren. There is a kinship. There is an acknowledgement of a deep-seated relationship that must be among brethren. We are to have a deep-seated affection for one another. It is to be genuine. It is to be real. It is to be something that we express in the ways that we conduct ourselves in this relationship. And then Paul would add in 1 Peter 1:22, sincerity. Peter combines a negative with a Greek word for hypocrite to tell the brethren that their affection and friendship should not be hypocritical. Paul says the same about that type of love in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. And so, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 6, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. And so hypocrites, the word Jesus used to describe the insincerity and the self-righteous spirit that was permeating through the Pharisees, and we read in Matthew 23. James 3:17 says that he makes the point that wisdom that comes from above must be without hypocrisy, and a wisdom that is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and full of good fruits. In 1 Timothy, verse chapter 1, verse 5, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, the love which Peter speaks in the case of Timothy proceeded out of the heart of faith unfeigned, or unfeigned faith, expressions that mean unhypocritical or sincere love for one another. You see, we must have a sincere love of one another. Notice back to our passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Notice, with a pure heart. Heartfelt love of one another is the origin that begins in a pure heart. The essence of being a Christian is good and honest heart that is devoted to God. Read Luke chapter 8, verse 11 through 15. Note the relationship of hearing, faith, and repentance and baptism is aimed at the heart. Love. Peter uses agape when he says to love one another in the latter part of this verse. It is the word Jesus used to answer the Jews who asked him to identify the greatest of the and the first commandment, and that had to do with the sacrificial type of love that we must have for God. All your heart. What is important to Peter's point is that Jesus says to love God with all your heart, and your neighbor with all your heart is likened to it, comparable to it. The whole heart. In Mark's account of this same story, he uses the word whole to describe the heart full of love. You see, a heart must have love in it. And love is something that can be expressed. It can be exemplified. It can be demonstrated. It can be shown. And it can also show when it's not there. It can also be easily seen that it is not present. And then it has a negative connotation and has a negative vantage point. And so if we're going to be effective at God's people, if we're going to help one another, then we have to have a deep sense of love one for another. It has to be the sacrificial type of love. It has to be the type of love that is sincere. It's not put on. It's not for show. It's not lip service. It's something that's genuine, that comes from our heart, and something we want to do, not have to do. Ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to exemplify to the world that God has a better way, it must be exemplified in the relationship that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. If we are part of the same family, if you're my brother, if you're my sister, there must be a genuine love that permeates from us to demonstrate to the world that we belong to God and that we have a better way of living than the way of the world. The sincere love of the brethren. We will conclude this particular subject next Lord's Day, Lord willing. Have a blessed day.